Welcome to this week's episode of The State of Recruiting, your weekly recruiting podcast on Horns 247. I'm Mike Roach, and I'm joined as always by Nick Harris. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you find The State of Recruiting, if you could please like, subscribe, rate, review, all those good things, it really helps our show out. And we want to point you to the other great shows on the Horns 247 network, including The Flagship with Taylor Estes and Chip Brown, and The Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Rob Babers. Before we get into the week, Nick, how's it going today?
Going pretty good. Can't complain. Weather's been kind of, it's been much better than it was last week. I'll say that.
Well, Nick, you called, you did some local play-by-play stuff this morning, calling some high school baseball for your alma mater, the Rockwall Heath Hawks, live from Globe Life Park. I think that's the park. The new one's the park, right?
Field.
Oh, yeah. The new one's Field. First of all, I listened this morning. You were really good. That was kind of my first opportunity to ever hear you do play-by-play. But more importantly, how was the facility?
Oh, it was pretty incredible. I'm excited for I'm excited to get some Texas high school football on there, because apparently, like, the rumor was that at some point down the line there will be some playoff games there, and I think it's going to be phenomenal whenever that does happen. So quite the facility, and, you know, and quite the treatment to media as well.
We asked the important question when it comes to treatment of media. How was security?
Oh, really lax. We were able to come in and out. We actually went to Texas Live in between games, no problem. So it was quite nice.
Well, I look forward to kind of checking it out, but let's jump right into the show. It was a busy weekend for the both of us. You were kind of covering some things locally. I was out west doing some traveling. So I'll just start with me. And my trip to Pylon, Vegas, it was a good trip. I feel like we got a ton done from it. It really, the biggest, I guess, impact was seeing Malik Murphy throw in person. And that was really the biggest goal, was to get out there and see Malik and kind of gather my own eval on him. And I wrote on the board Saturday night after I'd seen him throw the first day, I had honestly expected to be underwhelmed. I expected to have to come kind of spin almost and say, like, well, he didn't do this well and he didn't do that well, but I like this and I like that. And I was kind of considering how I was going to frame everything if he just had a total meltdown. And I didn't have that problem, because he was incredible on day one. I mean, he every scoring drive he led, and he was switching off with another four-star quarterback on his team. But every drive he led ended in a touchdown. He made some NFL throws when it comes to ball placement and just arm strength and ability to get the ball out there. I thought he really couldn't have done a better job. So was really excited to see Malik Murphy, and it really paid off. And, you know, just sitting there and talking with him too, a wonderful kid. You know, listeners to the podcast, you guys got to hear the interview last week with him and kind of get an idea of who he is. But, you know, he comes off like that in person too, just very genuine. I told somebody he has that innate ability to come off as very confident. You know, he played very confident. He trash talks a little bit, but he doesn't come off as overly cocky. I think he still keeps some humility. And I think that's kind of an important balance to strike when you're playing the quarterback position. So it was really good to see him. Got to see a bunch of other West Coast guys, you know, including CJ Williams, who had a really good tournament catching the ball and what he could do after the catch. We got to see a fast 7-on-7, which had a ton of guys, including two Texas commits in Jaden Blue and Jalen Gilbo, and then a couple of Texas targets like Chris Marshall and Kevin Coleman. So it was a really good tournament overall, a lot of competition, a lot of, you know, a really good players who showed their skills. I would say, you know, I think I come away from it. My biggest takeaway is we talk about, with Malik Murphy, him being raw. And I wouldn't say he's raw. I would say he's inexperienced. I didn't see a lot of raw things from him technically. I thought he actually was pretty technically sound with a lot of the way he did things. I just think that the inexperience is probably the biggest factor for him, and something that will play a role when it comes to, you know, little things like being able to hit receivers in stride, timing, you know, being able to you know, read defenses as quickly as other guys. I think that that's all experience based, but when it comes to mechanics, when it comes to arm talent, I think he is a little more refined there. So the Tyrone Swoops comparisons that everyone wanted to make, I don't think are very accurate. And I think Texas is getting a hell of a physical talent. I think they're getting a hell of a kid off the field. And I'm kind of excited to see how he develops going into this season now that California has approved football going forward. Nick, you were kind of local this weekend. What did you see?
Yeah, on Saturday morning, went out to our good friend Zach Collins' offensive line training out in Mansfield to catch Mansfield Timber View 2023 offer Andre Kojo. I had heard about Andre from yourself and Zach and some other guys around the area as well. Texas was the first to offer him last week, so definitely wanted to get out and catch up with him, see what it was about. And I was actually the first person to ever interview the kid, so I love doing that. I've been able to do that a few times in the last year. So really good kid, really good talent.
Actually, I interviewed him right after he got offered. I never got around to write the story. And then,
wow.
And then you wrote it. So
he told me I was the first one. That's
you were the first person live for sure.
Okay. There we go. That's what it was. but yeah, really good talent. He's definitely gonna have some things to work on, but he's a 2023. I think he's going to be one of the top offensive linemen in the state in that class. That size is just, not easy to come by. And then later Saturday, went out and saw our good friend Flight with a DB training, was able to catch up with Daniel Demery, Braxton Myers, and some 2023 guys. And I was talking to Daniel Demery, actually. He was just recently reoffered by the Texas staff. And he's really excited by this new Texas staff and the direction that they're going in. I really like where Texas is with Demery right now, actually. I think the previous staff did a really good job of offering pretty early, and this new staff has come in and made an impression so far. I'm kind of curious to see how he projects. He's starting to kind of fill out, and I think he could move kind of move out to safety, or maybe even move up to linebacker, considering his frame. I'm curious to get your opinion on that, Mike, the next time you go out and see Demery, because his frame is definitely starting to fill out. And then on Sunday, went up north of the border, just about an hour from my house, and saw our good friends at C4. Caught up with Jadarian Price just about like 2 or 3 hours before he committed to Notre Dame. Really happy for the kid, one of the best kids you'll ever meet in the state of Texas. Denison, four-star running back that Texas was in on, especially with the previous staff. I think that's a really good talent going to South Bend, and really happy for him. And then I was able to see some Oklahoma ballers that, I think will be really good G5 players. Even found a receiver in 2023, Morgan Pearson. He goes to Plainview, Oklahoma. He's already gotten offers from Oklahoma State and Iowa State. I think he's a kid that could definitely blow up as a receiver in 2023. So that's one to keep an eye on in the Sooner State.
Yeah, I think it was funny. I was getting I've known Jadarian for a long time and people around Denison for a long time. So I was kind of getting the scoop while I was in Vegas. Some guys texted me that it was going to be Notre Dame. I think it went a little longer than Jadarian wanted it to. I think he kind of wanted to do it on Saturday early. And it came down to, being able to talk to a coach who was on a plane and getting an edit done and all that. But it's a really good fit for a kid like that, a really strong academic kid to go to Notre Dame. And I think the football fits pretty good as well. So, big time for there. Nick, let's kind of talk about, you've had some big scoops lately. We'll have some more. By the time you hear this, I'll have a Mike at Night out tonight with another pick for Texas. Where the way this class is going, and I wrote this Wednesday on our rankings release date, we talked all about how talented this 2022 class was in the state of Texas. Chris Hummer actually wrote a great article about the amount of talent in the state. And I think it's early. There's 5 commits in the class. The job is certainly not done. But I would say Texas is ahead of schedule. When it comes to this class already, from the standpoint of they've already got commitments from an elite quarterback in Malik Murphy, elite physical talent at least, the number one running back in the country in Jaden Blue, probably the number one in, top couple of receivers on their board in Armani Winfield and Evan Stewart. They've made a priority out of Travell Johnson, pushed for him and got him. This time I can remember, so everybody wants to compare this class to 2018, which was Herman's first full cycle. It was the number 3 class in the country, and it netted Texas a bunch of really good recruits. Thinking back to that timeline, there was one commitment by this time, and that kid ended up decommitting. It was Justin Watkins who ended up decommitting a month or two later. And then I don't think Texas really got rolling until May or June. So from a calendar perspective, they're ahead of schedule. But I want to kind of look at where things may be going. And we'll start with what I'm going to write in Mike at Night when I get off of this recording. I think I wrote last night that Texas is kind of I was pretty sure Texas was going to land Brian Allen. I just didn't have enough to put in a crystal ball. After talking to some people today, I feel pretty firm that Texas is going to land Brian Allen from Aledo and do have enough to put in a crystal ball. So you combine that with the picks we have on the other premier safety in state at Beaumont Westbrook, Bryce Anderson. And I think that that speaks well for Blake Gideon, speaks for his recruiting ability and what kind of talent Texas could assemble. I also think that, you know, Texas is sneaky in the mix for some guys that I can't talk about right now because of some situations they've asked me not to, but I'll just tease it like that. I think that the most interesting thing, and Nick, you can add some background here, is guys that we thought maybe Texas was completely out of the picture with, like Harold Perkins, they're making a strong push for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could even say a name like Brennan Thompson was somebody that I think, you know, before this new staff came in, that I think Texas was, you know, kind of drifting out of the race for. And now, you know, Texas is in the mix with Thompson. And I just put an article here out on Thursday evening on my conversation that I had with Harold Perkins today. And I really like where Texas is sitting with Harold Perkins. I'm not saying they're the leader by any means. I don't really think there is a leader in his race right now. But they're definitely in that top mix. He's talking to a lot of schools. And when you have a linebacker talent like Harold Perkins, you know, in your home state, that's they're definitely going to make him a priority and, you know, vie for his commitment until the very last minute. So that's going to be an interesting one to follow. But like you said, this 2022 class is really picking up momentum and it's picking up steam like quicker than we thought it would. I mean, we're sitting here February 25th, 26th, and, you know, commitments are rolling in. There's buzz everywhere. And, you know, this new staff has really hit the ground running and they've been doing it relatively without a director of recruiting for the most part. Brian Carrington was kind of in and out of the job after a signing day, went off to USC. And then we have Brandon Harris now. So it's definitely been an interesting few weeks on the personnel standpoint, even with director of player personnel. But the coaching staff has been able to do it themselves, and you got to love that. And then once this personnel staff does get finalized, we'll really see what this staff's full potential can be.
You made a good point there. One, I want to get back to and mention something on, but I will say that there is a report out there that Brandon Harris, who is director of recruiting, is considering taking a job with the LA Rams. If he takes a job in the NFL, it's really hard to fault somebody for that. Texas will find somebody else. I don't have any. I think for the most part, I've been really pleased with the way Coach Sarkisian has put the staff together, both from a coaching staff and a personnel staff standpoint. You know, they've missed on some primary guys, you know, they missed on their primary DCs, but they got Pete Kwiatkowski, which was, you know, a home run. They missed on their primary guy at DPP and Drew Hughes, but Billy Glasscock, who's coming in, has a great reputation. So I'm not that worried. They could find a guy to be director of recruiting. That position, I think, sometimes gets written about to have more importance than it actually has. I think a lot of times that guy is just typically a face for the organization. But if Brandon Harris does move on, I think that they'll be fine there. And if he stays, they'll be in a great position. The point I want to get back to is kind of what you said about the coaches doing it on their own. One thing I found interesting, and I'm reading your Harold Perkins story now because you literally published it right before we came on to record, so I didn't get an opportunity to read it. And seeing the quote that it's not even about the guys who are committing to Texas, but just the conversations they're having. That's not the first kid I've heard say that. In fact, I've talked to several kids who have said, it's not even about the class they're putting together. It's just things are a lot different there when we talk to Texas now. I talked to Sebastian Cheeks, the linebacker from Evanston, Illinois last night. He kind of echoed the same thing. You know, it was just everything feels different, you know, and I've talked about this a lot, that Tom Herman could have done a better job recruiting as a head coach. He just wasn't as involved as he needed to be in today's day and age. And I don't think that's a problem for Steve Sarkisian. When you look at it, Sarkisian is involved in every single thing with every kid we talk about, down to the point of, Nick, when I asked you who's really dealing with Harold or who did he say is really talking to him the most, he said Sarkisian. So you could tell that when the head man is rolling up his sleeves and getting into these recruitments, and not just in a closer's role, that's going to kind of hit different a little bit. And I think that it's an interesting trend to me, the amount of people who have said, I'm not that my Texas interest has less to do with the class they're putting together, more to do with it just feels like they're going to put together a good team and win there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked to all of these commits that have committed under Sarkisian, and then Gilbo, who was, you know, committed under the previous staff. And all five of them have, you know, said that they've had great conversations with Sarkisian. He's done a phenomenal job of, you know, kind of taking it, like you said, rolling up his sleeves and kind of doing it himself. And especially with these top prospects in the country, you're going to want that from your head coach. And honestly, whenever I talk to recruits, I ask about a lot of schools. And recently I haven't heard Sarkisian's name mentioned more, I haven't heard another name mentioned more than Sarkisian. As far as like a head coach being involved in recruiting, than Sarkisian. And Lincoln Riley, I hear a lot as a head coach that does a lot of recruiting on his own. Lincoln Riley and Sarkisian definitely have some traits there. But you know, he's recruiting Harold Perkins really hard. You can bet your behind he's recruiting Denver Harris pretty hard personally. Denver Harris also just came off a top four announcement this past week of Texas, LSU, Alabama, and Texas A&M. So that's definitely going to be one to follow as well going down the stretch. And we're going to see what Terry Joseph has made of in that recruitment, as well as Steve Sarkisian. But it's really exciting to see what this staff can do, with the recruiting in their hands.
Yeah, I think it's it's interesting that you mentioned no one's hotter than Steve Sarkisian. I think that some of the guys we've talked to, it's just, I've heard so many times from parents, coaches, like, well, Texas seems to have all the momentum right now. And I mean, we've been there before with Tom Herman, but it's like been a while. So it kind of feels odd to have it now. It feels like we're back in a new sort of thing. And so like, let's look at where this class could go. I think that, we mentioned Brian Allen, we mentioned Bryce Anderson. I think that Nick and I are both on record with crystal ball for Christopher Ross, the defensive tackle from North Shore, both on record for Connor Robertson, the offensive lineman from Austin Westlake. I think that Texas is trending up for guys like Kelvin Banks and Cam Dewberry. I think that they've always been in a strong position for Devon Campbell. So again, we don't want to promise you all of these things, but I think that if you look at the way things are trending, and that's really all we can go off at this point, is where things are trending. The trend lines are very strong right now in favor of Texas. Nick, anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap up this class and move on to the mailbag?
No, but I will say one thing. If we kind of just look at the 2021 cycle and where we were, you know, this time last year, when there still were big targets left on the board, there was still quite a bit of second tier guys that we were already looking towards as, guys that could end up being, you know, Texas commits one day. And it seems like we haven't gotten to that point yet, just because Texas and the staff has done such a good job with these top tier targets. So that just kind of speaks to how ahead of schedule they are and, you know, how well they're doing on the recruiting side of things.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we are going to come back with the mailbag.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, and now it's time for our mailbag. As always, you can get your questions in on the Horns 24/7 message board, or you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Any of those questions will get answered. Let's start with the iTunes feed. The first question I have is, Mike and Nick, can you explain what a preferred walk-on is? Thanks in advance. So a preferred walk-on is a... There are definitely walk-ons out there. Anybody can show up and try to enter the walk-on program. But a preferred walk-on is almost recruited by the coaching staff. And a lot of times they're given not special treatment when it comes to admissions, but the admissions are relaxed a tad than they would be from the normal student to get those guys in. They're typically borderline guys, guys who would go D2 or FCS or something, but want to go to Texas. And so a lot of times you can find guys, like remember Luke Brockermeyer was committed to Rice and was about to sign with Rice, and Texas got him to walk on. You can find some players like that and augment your roster. And that's all the preferred part means, is that they're kind of targeted and asked to join.
Yeah. So they look for these guys that, you know, probably have some potential at the next level, maybe not enough to go ahead and give them a scholarship spot, but you know, see what they can do. And if you look at a guy like Kai Money, who came onto the team as a walk-on, who I think is being picked up as a scholarship this spring, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that that's what happened this spring. You know, it sometimes works out. You know, I tried to be a preferred walk-on, Mike.
I didn't. In what sport?
I'm joking.
I was about to say, I heard you reference your former second base career today on the call.
Oh, I did. I had a great time repping that.
So I didn't know if it was maybe baseball, but all right. From HornsFan7612, does Denver Harris compare favorably to guys like Scooby Carter and Jalen Green? What are his strengths and weaknesses of his game? I don't like doing comparisons, so here's what I'll tell you about those guys coming out of school. He is every bit the elite prospect those guys were. Now, I think Scooby Carter was a different animal when it comes to athleticism. I think Jalen Green was like kind of a different animal at the time when it came to just like dominant physical play. But I think Denver kind of combines a little bit of everything. He is a really strong athlete, technically pretty sound. Nick has seen him far more than me, so he could probably go into more detail on the strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, something that really sticks out about Denver anytime you watch him, whether it be in person or on film, he's a lockdown corner. And I know that's kind of, you know, kind of a lame answer, but I mean, if you're looking for the guy who is the lockdown corner in this class, it is Denver Harris. He can match up well with just about any receiver at the 6A level in the state of Texas. He did a really phenomenal job in the state semifinal, matched up against Jaden Greathouse, who had a few inches on him. And before Denver hurt in that game, which was about – it was through about 3 1/4 of a quarter quarters. he had only held him to one reception for 1 yard. And for a guy like Jaden Greathouse, who, you know, received 1,100 receiving yards this year, he did a great job locking him down. And every time I see Denver Harris, it's the same thing. As far as weaknesses, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, you're nitpicking if you're looking at anything, but – he doesn't have any verified, you know, track times or verified speed. I'm not sure how quick he would be, but his footwork is so fluid. It doesn't really matter. He could be a 4, you know, like a 4.55 guy, maybe a step slow for some, you know, power 5 receivers. But when you have the footwork like Denver Harris has, I don't think it really matters at that point.
I don't know that this is an issue with him, but I guess for me, like one of the biggest things I look at in highly ranked corners to see if it's a weakness is how grabby they are. And so I don't know how grabby he is, but like, that's probably something I would look for if we see him in a camp or something this year. All right. Next question from, JAF Wolf. Who would you replace Brandon Harris with if he does leave for an NFL gig, and ranked linebackers most likely to end up in the class who aren't already committed to Texas? You know, it'll probably be like a really outside of the box hire, but if I could pick, I'd probably go with Kerry Cooks, who used to be the DB coach at Notre Dame and Oklahoma. He's currently an analyst at Notre Dame, but an Irving, Texas guy. Shocker. That's why I've got support for him. an Irving, Texas guy who I think would kind of thrive in that role. He knows a lot of coaches in the state and has a lot of contacts here. He's recruited the state for a long time. So that'd be a guy I'd look at. Speaking of Irving, Texas, you know, Michael Huff would not be a bad decision there either.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good spot. My answer for that one, I'd probably go with Herbert Frazier. He's the safeties coach out of Spring Decaney. He's really involved with the 7-on-7 team. Helps coach a 7-on-7 team down in the Houston area. Last year, he had guys like Harold Perkins, Donovan Green, Varkeese Gums on his squad. So he's definitely connected with the guys in Houston. A really good young personality that I think kids can relate to. He played at Texas Tech. He's been an educator since, and I think he'd be a pretty good fit for the job.
I guess my only question there would be, I know the NCAA has relaxed rules about pre-existing relationships with recruits, but I don't know if they've dropped them all the time, so or all the way. So that would be my only question with a guy like that. From Waterboy, knowing Kyle Flood's ability to develop the offensive line, what's your best guess for how long it takes Flood to recruit and develop talent to get the offensive line to a level needed to compete with the Bama's, Clemson's, and Ohio State to the world? I mean, it'll take some time. You're going to have to be a little patient. I would say best case scenario, you're talking about 3 or 4 years, before it's, especially if you're looking for it to play with those levels, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. I mean, those lines were built over time and they're constantly backfilled with big name recruits who continue to fit within the process. I would say, 2 or 3 years just to get it playing at a high level, maybe. And you're talking maybe 3 to 5 years before it's playing at that level.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to take some time if you want to get, to those kind of schools' offensive line levels. But, if we're talking about recruiting offensive line, I mean, he can do that in this class. That is one thing I've kind of been, worried about so far in the cycle. It's not a huge worry, but, kind of looking at the trends of the other position groups and seeing where they're headed, I'd like to see the offensive line, kind of pick up those trends. I mean, obviously they're doing great with Devon Campbell, but his recruitment's going to play out. And then Cam Dewberry and Kelvin Banks, both of their recruitments are – heavyweight battles with a lot of those schools that you mentioned. So he's definitely going to have an opportunity to recruit the offensive line at an elite level in this class. So we'll see in the next 10 months or so.
Yeah, I think is the biggest thing is I think we like where everything's trending on the offensive line recruits. Those recruitments just seem like the timelines are going to be much longer. So there's always chance for things to change a lot when the timelines are longer. From Horns Forever 22, update on Brennan Thompson. Is he in danger of not making this class at wide receiver if all the spots fill up before he commits? I want to say this. Nick talks to Brennan a lot and people around him and could probably give us an update. But, I think people sometimes get way too worried on the who's that are going to be in this class. When you're recruiting like this and you're getting guys, your primary targets, yeah, you're probably going to have to pass on some guys that you would normally take and those roles fill up. I think as long as you continue to get good players, you really have to, you really just have to be happy with what you've got going on. If they don't get Brennan Thompson, but they get another, really strong receiver prospect, I think you kind of just have to be happy with that. And I know everybody has their guys that they love, but if you're looking at Brennan's speed, which I understand is fantastic, and a part of it, Texas kind of already has that in their class, and Evan Stewart, who's an elite speed guy. So it's always good to have two elite speed guys. It's always better. But, maybe they want to go in a different direction and find a bigger, more physical guy. You never know. So don't get too married to certain guys. Get married to how they are recruiting the position, how high the level of talent they're bringing in is.
Yeah, solid points for sure. And Mike, you can kind of tell me if I'm wrong here, but I would imagine there's going to be a spot for Brennan Thompson in this class if he wants it, no matter, when he wants to commit, whether it be tomorrow or in February. He's a talent that, is pretty highly coveted, not only in the state of Texas, but in the country. As far as an update on his recruitment, I think Clemson is really going to be a big factor in this one. They've offered recently, they've been recruiting him pretty hard. And he also has a close relationship with Cade Klubnik. If Cade Klubnik also gets that offer from Clemson, I would not be surprised to see both of them, kind of talk that one over. Oklahoma is also one just to kind of keep an eye on. I know their receiver room is pretty stacked right now as is, especially in the class of 2022. And then you also look at Oregon and Texas A&M as some other schools. And then honestly, I wouldn't count out Texas Tech. I'm not going to sit here and say that Brennan Thompson is going to go to Texas Tech, but he's definitely interested in his hometown Red Raiders. I say hometown, it's like an hour and a half away, but he's definitely interested in them and he wants to visit. So those are just some schools to kind of keep an eye on. As far as where Texas sits among all that, I would say they're in the top grouping, but I don't know if they're number one at this point.
All right. And I think, yeah, I think for the most part, Texas will hold a spot for it. But there will come a day where they say, look, we just don't have any more spots. So you either got to commit now or you don't. And I don't think that day is going to be next February. I think it'd probably be sooner than that. We'll see kind of where it ends up. But I think that obviously things are trending well at receiver. So, you know, I think that either way they end up, they'll be pretty happy with what they get. From Ultim, call your shot right now. Where does Denver Harris land? Last I checked, the slight edge was on Texas, although I think it really comes down to Texas and A&M. I won't count Alabama out just because I know how much Denver liked, A, liked Alabama, and B, how much he likes Jay Valai, and his mom likes Jay Valai. So that's going to be a factor, but I think if I had to guess right now, I'd say Texas by the slightest of margins.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity to bring up how dangerous Jay Valai is about to be in this recruiting cycle, just because he's built relationships with so many of these DBs in the state of Texas in 2022, and there's so many good ones. He's gonna be a full court press on Denver Harris, and I'm not calling my shot. I just don't like doing that, but don't count out Alabama whatsoever, and Texas and Texas A&M are all right there too. I think LSU is kind of the odd man out in his top four, personally. I think it's going to come down to those three schools.
All right. From McKeezy8, who are your top three favorite recruits in the 2022 class? Can be anyone you want. Doesn't have to be a Texas commit. Evan Stewart and I are really close, so I'll say Evan is one. Malik Agbo, who I just met this weekend, is the most pleasant human being I've met in my entire life. He will be number two. And, man, I'd probably honestly say, like, C.J. Williams and Malik Murphy in a tie for number three. Both those kids are awesome to deal with. So I laughed about it because maybe it's just one of those things where we see the same kids and we talk to the same kids all the time. But, man, talking to the California kids is such a – it's almost, like, refreshing. Like, they're just different the way they deal with you and stuff. So, yeah, I would go with that list.
Yeah, McKeezy8, you messed up by saying it doesn't have to be anyone that's a Texas commit, because now I'm about to give you way more than three. I do like Harold Perkins. Me and him have been super tight for, I guess, going on about a year now. Super great kid, and he'll sit and talk to you for 10, 15 minutes just about life and whatever. We had a whole conversation about Call of Duty earlier, and I don't even play the game, so that was pretty interesting. And being in Rockwall and catching up with those 2022 quarterbacks, Josh Hoover and Braden Locke, both of those guys are – pretty awesome. Jay Fair as well in the Rockwall area. Jalen Peoples out at Cedar Hill, a pretty cool kid. Trying to think of some others even. That's about all I can think of right now. But there's a lot of good kids in this class, honestly. I feel like I've had that conversation with someone recently.
All right, next question from Who Dat Hook'em. Who is the one must-get player on defense in the 2022 cycle? I feel like we've talked about Harold a lot. I feel like that's probably going to be your answer. My answer is Amari Abor. I think that he's a future top 10 pick. And to me, Texas needs edge rushers more than anything. So Amari Abor is mine.
Oh, yeah. And Amari Abor is a fantastic kid, too. He's hilarious. Great, great kid to catch up to. A great kid to catch up with. Must-get player on defense. Yeah, I would probably say Harold Perkins or Denver Harris. You can make the case for Amari Abor, certainly, just because how down – this cycle is on the defensive line. And I was kind of mentioning that on the board earlier this week. There's not a lot of talent in the state of Texas when it comes to the defensive line. You got Amari Abor, you got Malik Silla, you got a couple of elite defensive tackles like Chris Ross and Dre Bledsoe. And then after that, it gets kind of scarce. So don't be surprised to see this staff kind of put some priority on some out-of-state guys and look out-of-state to fill those defensive line holes.
What would be a realistic O-line class for Texas from Nero 1691? I think we've mentioned the three big in-state guys. I think could see Texas landing all those guys, Devon Campbell, Cam Dewberry, Kelvin Banks. And then I could see them landing one or two guys out west. I think probably their biggest targets out west are, you know, either Ernest Green or Malik Agbo, who somebody asked a question. I'm going to answer two questions in one here because I'm that good. Somebody asked a question about those two guys out west. I think things are still really early, but I do detect a very genuine sense of interest from Malik Agbo. I think that he is a kid, a smart kid. Texas appeals to him. He wants to go into broadcast communications. I think they could push the Longhorn Network angle there. He's had a long relationship with Coach Flood going back to Alabama. So I think that Texas is in a good spot with Malik Agbo early. I have not been able to connect with Ernest Green yet, so I don't know there.
Yeah, I also caught up with Malik last week just kind of through DMs. Obviously, you were able to meet him out in Vegas this past week. Fantastic kid, and I think he does have genuine interest in Texas. And typically with those out-of-state kids, when it comes to, you know, are they interested in Texas, we can typically tell by if they reply to our DMs. So that was definitely a good sign right off the bat. And then in talking to him, he seems genuinely interested as well. Now, what was the first question? I missed the first.
Realistic O-line class look like?
Realistic O-line class. I could see Devon Campbell in this class, Connor Robertson. I could see Cam Dewberry in this class. Kelvin Banks, I think they need to do a little bit more work on. I obviously, Texas is right in the mix there, but I think Texas A&M is going to be tough to beat. Trying to think of some others, more so some tackle bodies. Can't really think off the top of my head. Those are definitely some guys I feel good about right now.
All right. Our next question from O'Horns. Where would Sebastian Cheeks be if he played 6A in Texas? Would he be a top 100 guy? I can't speak for the national ranking. I think he would be a very good player. I think he'd probably be a top 25 player in the state. It says, I know Notre Dame's courting him. What happens if he visits Texas, really pushes? This is a kid who, even before he had an offer from the old staff, I was hearing from people up north, hey, this kid is really interested in Texas. Like, he wants to visit Texas. He's always kind of been fascinated with Texas. So when, you know, Coleman Hutzler offered, he was really excited. He reached out to me yesterday to tell me how excited he was that Texas had reoffered. So I do think he's fairly open, and I think that he has a real genuine interest. So you never know. We'll see if they can get him in on a visit. That's obviously the first key. But once they do that, I think they've got a really good chance.
Mike answered this question really well. And when I first read this question, I misinterpreted it as where would he play high school if he played 6A in Texas? So I'm going to answer it that way because I think that would be fun. Could you imagine Sebastian Cheeks at like a Duncanville or DeSoto?
No, that would be scary. For you, or what if he was at Cy Park with Pee Wee and Harold Perkins?
And he'd probably be playing offense too.
Yeah. Our final question from UTEX Horn alum, because my battery is about to die. Name the two top out-of-state offensive line targets you feel Texas has a fighting chance for. I feel like we kind of just answered that, but Malik Agbo is definitely one. I'll go a different way. I will say the offensive lineman from Oklahoma. Jacob Sexton is the other guy that I think – not that I think Texas is in the lead. I think Oklahoma is probably the favorite and should be for any Oklahoma kids. But I don't think Texas is like completely out of the picture there, so I'll say him.
Yeah, I like the Agbo pick. I like the Sexton pick. I'm going through the offers right now to make sure I don't miss on anybody. I do know George Fitzpatrick. He's from Cherry Creek, which is the school that Gunnar Helm, tight end signee in 2021, came from in Colorado. I talked to George whenever I went out there last November, and he had a genuine interest in Texas. He doesn't hold a reoffer. Not sure if he'll get it anytime soon, but if he does get that reoffer, that's going to be one to keep an eye on. Yeah, those are the only out-of-state guys that I would really be keeping an eye on, period.
All right, and that's going to do it for our mailbag, and that's going to do it for our show. We've got a busy weekend ahead. We'll have some fun stuff on the website this weekend, so check back there. Can't get into it right now. But, Nick, you also have Pylon Houston this weekend that you're going to do, so should see some good stuff out there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it. There's some teams that we haven't been able to see on the circuit yet that are going to be out there. Our good friends at Team Grind are going to be down there debuting their new squad. Going to be able to catch up with a lot of Houston guys, of course. There's going to be a ton of Houston teams down there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, everybody, we appreciate you guys for listening, for joining in, for being involved in our mailbag segment. Thanks for writing in. Thanks for caring. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach. We'll see you guys next week.